and how long it went.
The House Committee on Education will come to order. It's Monday, February 8th. It's 1 o'clock. If you have a cell phone, please turn it off, not just to silent, but all the way off. I am going to open a public hearing on House Bill 3688.
Dana, could you give us a brief overview, please?
Yes, Madam Chair, members of the committee. House Bill 3688 prohibits a provider of educational services from offering money or other consideration to a student, parent, or legal guardian in return for the student going to school there. It's not quite the same as last time the committee last saw it. Since the hearing that we had in January, some changes were incorporated to provide exceptions for money provided for educational purposes based on the needs or abilities of the student and for goods and services that are available to all to all students receiving educational services. Thank you very much. We have a very full agenda today. We have two people that have signed up. I'll have to time you at 30 seconds each. Morgan Allen and Cindy Hunt. It's unusual for this committee to have only one line of the form.
Look how empty the audience is.
Chair Gelster and members of the committee, for the record, Morgan Allen with Department of Ed, and I'm going to turn most of this over to Cindy Hunt, but this committee had a very good discussion about this concept of, for lack of a better word, incentives for students to enroll in schools and monetary payments, and I think we talked about bicycles and maybe Xboxes and things like that. But so Ms. Hunt and I have had a chance to review House Bill 3688, and I think we'd say two things before I turn it over to Cindy. The first is I think it takes care of a lot of the issues and a lot of the concerns that this committee raised when you had the original discussion a couple weeks ago. But the eagle eye of Ms. Hunt pointed out a couple places where the committee might want to consider strengthening it a little bit. There's still maybe a few little loopholes in there that an enterprising person or persons might still be able to ride their bicycle through, if you pardon the pun. But so I'm going to turn it over to Ms. Hunt, and then we'll be available to answer any questions you have.
Okay. Cindy Hunt, Department of Education. And I want it noted for the record that last Friday I was the only attorney to finish their test 20 before your bell rang.
So noted
for the record. So, Chair Gelser, you asked that I supply to the committee the emails and the website that I printed that kind of led to the bill, and I think that's what's in front of you. It's the email that was from Mike Heider from the Oregon City School District, and so last interim I testified to this a bit. He had had some concerns from a parent that were expressed that the parent had tried to enroll in a school in his district, and she was told from her charter school that she couldn't transfer her student midterm without losing a $500 tuition reimbursement to the Village Home, a Beaverton private educational provider. So then the next page is the website from Village Home, and that talked about the relationship between the All Prep Academy and Village Home, where the parents were getting up to $500 per term per student in reimbursement. So that's what led to some questions. And so this was legal behavior by the charter school, and I've said that often, but it also led to the question about whether or not a parent could receive just $500 straight out to enroll their child in any school under current law, and the answer was yes. And so I believe that's what led to House Bill 3688. So I think Morgan alluded to some issues, and so one of the things that I think we wanted to make clear is that the language in the bill under subsection 3 in the new B and C, so B talks about that this is an exception. So these are things that would continue to go on under the bill. Is it says, provided for educational purposes based on the needs or abilities of the students, including scholarships, reduced or waived tuition. So I believe this is getting at some of the concerns about student going to a community college, for example, and the school paying for that. This could also mean, though, that the circumstance that gave rise to the whole bill could continue to go on. So I wanted to make it clear that this circumstance where the tuition amount being given to a private educational provider could also continue going on under this exception. And we just want to make that clear so that if that was the committee's intent, because it's kind of a policy choice, that you knew that. And then the second part, goods and services available to all students receiving educational services from the provider, that also, you know, a service could be also tuition payment. This could also be, I think one example that came up last time was the bicycle example, where, you know, as long as you give the bicycle to all students, this exception would apply. Now, one way of narrowing this down might be goods and services that are directly related to the educational services provided by the school, as long as they're provided to all students, so that I think that would get at some of the issues raised of, like, the internet being provided, computers, that kind of thing. But I think those were the kind of the examples and just what we wanted you to be alerted to. Okay. With that, we're open to questions.
Questions? President Maurer.
No, Madam Chair. So, I think that's a good read. It's a matter of getting the language.
Right.
And, I mean, so getting the fiscal tied onto it, is it all going to happen?
Yeah, we can get that done by Wednesday. Absolutely. We still have another hearing that we can do that. Representative Huffman.
Thank you, Madam Chair. So, Cindy, based on the discussion of the task force, I was concerned about the computers under the other consideration. So computers would be okay as long as the online learning school, for example, gave them to all students?
Yeah.
Was that the language you used? It had to be available to all? Or?
Representative Huffman, Chair Gelser, when I'm reading the exceptions, the computer situation, first of all, let's say the school is using the computer to lure students in. If it's just a computer that they're giving to students that's not used in their advertisement, it's allowed. Because we're just talking about luring students to the school.
But it's
so
a necessary tool.
Yeah. Okay. So then you have to look at, are they giving the students the computer and not loaning them to them? Because there's an exception. You know, if they're just loaning, also, you know. And then you look at B and C, and the computer would probably fall under C because it's a good or a service, and they'd probably be making it available to all students.
Okay.
So there's a couple of places, the short answer, that the computer would fall under.
Oh, I'll call in myself. It was very nice of me to raise my hand.
Chair Gelser, you have a question?
I do. Thank you, Representative. On the issue of the money provided for educational purposes, the sub 2 that you talked about, we were trying to get at the issue of a student enrolling, if I remember our discussion from last time, in a community college where they were pursuing those kinds of options. Is it typical in those arrangements for the parent to enroll the student, pay the tuition to the community college, and then be directly reimbursed by the school district? Or might another way to write this be to encourage school districts or require school districts to pay directly to the vendor that they're working with as part of that public school program, rather than passing cash through families for reimbursement?
Right. Chair Gelser, I know that under the Expanded Options Program, which is where a lot of the students are accessing higher educational services, the money flows through the districts. And so the student never really sees the money. It goes from the districts to the higher ed institution. Now, as far as some of the charter schools, I think that some of them also pay directly to the community college or to the other educational provider. I don't know that I can say most or, you know, do it one way over the other.
And Chair Gelser, I think our concern is that, you know, we're happy that's a policy choice for your committee to make how you want to define that. What we wanted to bring to the committee's attention specifically was that was raised as a concern at the discussion that kids be allowed to continue to attend, you know, a community college or a state institution. But B is written so broadly that it would allow reimbursements to private institutions or private education providers. And that's also a policy point discussion for this committee. Do we want to allow the pass-through of state school fund dollars to private schools or to private tutors or things like that? So that's sort of another demarcation point, a policy point for this committee to consider. As it's written now, that would be allowed.
Mm-hmm. Representative Van Orman.
Thank you, Chair Gelser. I'm sitting here thinking about all of the ramifications here, and part of me thinks that some of these things could be called fees. And then one of the shocks I had when I first came to Oregon to school was the fact that I actually had to pay for my school supplies when I, in Wisconsin, it was given to me. So I guess the question that I have is that, or maybe it's the statement that I'm having, is that it's got to be clear that this is not an incentive it could be a fee, you could assess a fee, but it sounds like, you know, when I'm listening to this, I'm thinking it's sort of like us, what we can take and what we can't take.
Representative Springer.
Thank you, Madam Chair. As I've gone through this bill a couple times, if Cindy, maybe you could help me out a little bit. Certainly, a lot of the text of this bill is referencing other existing ORSs. However, there are a great deal of references to charter schools in here, pulled out, and specific references to just charter schools. So can you help me understand how this language was added here and some of the thinking behind that?
Yeah,
because it seems like charter school law.
Yeah, Representative Springer, Chair Gelser. So Section 1, as it's written, applies to all public school educational providers, charter school or otherwise.
Right.
Where you're seeing a lot of the references to charter school law is in Section 2 and beyond, and the reason is that for charter schools, they're exempted from all laws unless those laws specifically reference them, or unless they're in this list of laws. And we call this kind of the list of unwaivables.
Mm-hmm.
And the reason is because the state board can waive other laws that apply to the, you know, the charter school. And so what they've done in these sections is made it so that this law absolutely does apply to charter schools, and the state board can't waive it for charter schools. And so that's why you're seeing multiple sections dealing with charters specifically. Now, when we start talking about other school districts, the state board doesn't necessarily have that same authority to waive the for school districts generally, so that kind of reference wasn't needed in here.
Okay. Thank you.
Representative Huffman.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Cindy, are you suggesting this is something we need to address, or it's something we can address, or is this muddying the water from the original intent of the bill that had been brought to our attention on the task force?
Representative Huffman, Chair Gelser, that's an interesting question. I think it's a policy choice for you, you know, and I think there's degrees. And having heard the committee's discussion, you know, I think on one end of the spectrum is giving money directly to a parent to enroll in a particular school. And I think what I've heard from different folks is that makes them uneasy, I think is a fair characterization. Over to the other end of the spectrum, where the school is basically advertising itself in a very persuasive way about what it has to offer. And some of that, I think, can be very legitimate. You know, we have a nice program that, you know, parents are involved, our students score highly on state tests, all of that kind of stuff. And that's okay. But then in the middle is this, you know, providing services to students, you know, things like tuition and computers and things like that. And so where the policy choice lies is somewhere in here. And that's your job to draw the line, you know, where that is. I guess what we're saying is that the bill as it is draws the line somewhere over here, in that it's the straight-up money that's prohibited, but not necessarily the tuition payments to a private school. That was the initial question that came in.
That was the initial question? Because I was thinking the initial question that started the whole thing was based on money from an online provider or the rumor, money from an educational provider to the family, direct incentive payment to entice them to school. I thought that was
the document that you have in front of you. If you look at the email from Mr. Hyder from Oregon City, this is the first, you know, written out concern expressed by a district, and I think he expresses it well. You know, and that in here he talks about how the parent had tried to enroll, they couldn't transfer, and they would, you know, lose a $500, in his words, payback from All Prep to partially reimburse the family for taking a class. So this was the first. Now, it's true there were some other rumors out there about schools paying money just flat out. We didn't get that specifically as a complaint or in writing from anyone, so I can't tell you that was substantiated. I can tell you this was substantiated.
Representative Roblin.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I guess I like the part B that gives choices to districts, and I'll give an explanation as to why. In our district, we eventually got a policy that said if you take a series of courses and you finish them prior to getting out of high school, so I'm a junior and I've taken all the math classes that are available at the high school, or I've taken all the science classes, or whatever, and there's a community college course that can be offered that extends that, and you still have classes to take, they made a policy that said if you want to continue in education, something we don't offer at the community college, we will pay the tuition. That parents came back and said, that's a good idea, but could, and over conversations that took place. So I go out to take the college course, and I get a lousy grade. And we said, well, we paid for it. The grade comes in. It is part of your transcript. And so we had lots of conversations about that kind of stuff. And it finally came, and we had kids that took courses and then realized they were going to, so they dropped the class just before. We already paid it. No class, no grade. Very frustrating. So it came down to, well, if we pay for the course and we choose to get it transcripted at the high school, then we can be reimbursed. If we don't do it, and over the conversations for a long period of time, that became kind of the best idea for people. We weren't going to stop somebody from taking it, and if they want it, if they paid for it, it's their grade, they do whatever they want with it. But once the school paid for it, it becomes part of your official transcript and so on, and it has ramifications on all sorts of things, from grade point averages to all sorts of other kinds of things. And so keeping it so that it could be handled in that way makes sense to me. This language would allow that, from as I understand it. But it also allows some other things. That's what you're saying, indicating.
Mm-hmm.
Representative Springer.
Thank you. I'm thinking of those districts, they're very few and far in between, but those districts that have foundations, private foundations, might have just answered my question, private foundations that offer scholarships, sometimes a full ride, sometimes very healthy partial scholarships. I'm thinking of one in my district. And so, again, I might have answered my own question there. As I look through the language here on the first page, lines, I have it here, 14 and 15, the only reference that I see to scholarships is there, and it references the based on the needs or abilities of the students. Will the school district find themselves in a very interesting position waving the banner of the scholarships, college scholarships, on their web pages?
Representative
Or anywhere else. But.
Yeah, Representative Chair Gelser, first of all, private foundations, the way I understand it, are organized as nonprofit organizations. They're separate from school districts. The school district doesn't necessarily govern them. So if it comes directly from the private foundation to the student or the student's family, this bill doesn't cover it because they're not a school district, they're not a charter school, et cetera. So let's set that kind of circumstance aside. But if the private foundation is funneling the money kind of through the district in a scholarship or something, then I think you also have to look at, is the district or the school using that to entice students to attend school there? I mean, most of the time they're probably not. So that's another circumstance. Yeah. And then, so finally you get down to, you know, the ones where they would be using that to entice, you know, the student to attend school there. And then, you know, and then there's the exception in here built in that says based on the needs or ability of the students, including scholarships. So it'd probably fall under that exception. There's a very limited amount of circumstances where this section is going to apply because public schools aren't allowed to charge tuition for the most part. They're not allowed to charge, and they don't give scholarships because they're free. So it's a very limited circumstances. So we're talking about things that are outside of the regular school program for the most part, I think, or, you know, contracting with someone else.
Representative Dembrough and then Representative Roper.
Thank you, Madam Chair. This is a very interesting line of argument, and I appreciate what you're trying to do with the amendments. I think it's really capturing the intent of the committee. I don't think we're far apart on this, but this question about the fees and scholarships for students to go to colleges, I'm wondering, and Morgan, maybe you'd be the person to answer this, are these things that are factored into the charters? When an organization is seeking an initial charter, they have to have certain financial projections, you know, assumption of costs. As I look at the marketing of this program, this seems to be something that they're intending. It feels like most of the students are being encouraged to go that route. And I would assume that that would lead to some serious financial obligations, potentially on the part of the school. As they're trying to balance the costs and the resources, is that something that has been addressed by, to your knowledge, in charter applications?
Chair Gilson, Representative Dembro, not in any that I can remember, or any time any of the charters have come to appeal to the state board if their local school board or local school district denies their charter application when they come. But there would be, and Cindy, you could confirm, there would be nothing that would prohibit them from having, classes available at, say, Portland Community College and paying for those for their students with their state school fund. They could do that, and that would probably be included, I'm assuming, in their financial plan if they were describing their program. But it hasn't been a problem at the board level, as they've had charters that have been denied by their school districts or school boards coming and appealing to the state board. It's not that I can think of.
Yeah, the only thing I would add to that is that the sponsor in the charter could prohibit this behavior outright as well. I mean, if a sponsor saw some behavior that was going on that they felt that, for whatever reason, it's a negotiated contract, they could prohibit it. We don't know of any sponsors that have done that outright, but it's a possibility that they could do that.
And I think, again, for us, the point for this committee to consider is what we definitely heard at the discussion a couple weeks ago was community colleges, Oregon State, Portland State, those, private all-dead providers that are licensed by the state, things like that. That's what everybody wants to make sure continues to happen. This section just leaves it open to, again, private programs or private colleges or private tutorial services. That's a policy question. Should charter schools and their sponsoring districts be allowed to pay for kids to take part or all of their educational program at private entities that otherwise would not qualify for state school fund reimbursement?
Yeah. Then you also raised the money issue. I know that when this issue was first coming up in the task force, I know some of the charter school kind of representatives that sat there with us said, wow, who's doing this? Because we couldn't afford to do this. So I think for many charter schools in their business model, they could not afford to do this kind of, the $500 or what have you. I think that's a very fair statement to make as well.
Representative Brooklyn.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I just want to make sure that we don't do something with this bill to harm things that are already in place. Example, Philomath High School. They had a very nice benefactor many, many years ago, along with the corresponding school in eastern Oregon, where it's a boarding school. Both of those schools have a situation where a benefactor left enough money that anyone graduating from those schools could get tuition paid at an in-state school. They don't use it. I've never seen them out there touting this as the reason you should go. But there are people who have moved there because they know that that does exist. And the school board act eventually had to change it. You had to have been here at least 2 or 3 years before you could do it. And a lot of other schools have then gone out and started fundraising and setting up scholarship organizations in their own school districts, which allow people who graduate from those schools to apply for loans or scholarships to go on to higher education. And often they've used the Oregon Community Foundation as the seat of that stuff, but oftentimes organized by local people in their own school district that manage it and take care of it. So I don't want to have something here that we've written down impact those people who are doing it. And in the future, somebody may be a graduate from a particular charter school and go off and make $1 billion in the internet deal and say, I want to make sure that anybody comes to my old school gets to have a scholarship. We saw that happen in New York. We've seen that happen in other places. So I don't think we want to put in stipulations in a bill that would cause that to be not possible.
And if I can just tag on to that to ask the question, I'm familiar with Philomath.
Right.
Because it's my district. But
exactly.
Those scholarships are run through the Clemens Foundation, which is a private nonprofit. It's not administered directly by the school board, which is why it can also limit. It's now not just
limited to the, there were many people moving to Philomath, so they had to limit to those who had attended from kindergarten onwards, and it's now limited to people who are pursuing certain kinds of degrees at certain colleges and who are also willing to affirm certain political beliefs.
But some of them have started with within the school itself and made their own little nonprofits within the school district. I mean, it's pretty interesting how they've been forming, so I just want to make sure we don't.
Representative Roblin, I just checked with Cindy, but we were talking a little bit about not just the situations with the private foundations, but PTAs, parent clubs, raising money for sports equipment. You know, we have the coolest football uniforms, or having a monthly pizza party paid for by parent volunteers or things like that. None of that stuff would be prohibited by this bill. So, sort of at the high level, a college scholarship would be fine, and at the sort of day-to-day level, a pizza party or new jerseys for the basketball team, that stuff would still all be protected as long as it's done through private fundraising and foundations and PTAs and stuff like that.
Yeah, right.
Representative Van Orman.
Thank you. I think this whole conversation has me thoroughly confused, but I think for me it's about kickback. If you put your kid in this school, you get this back, as opposed to all the other things we've been talking about, because I always thought that was the concern that we had, was the kickback. Is that?
Well, I think, Representative Van Orman, this bill as written accomplishes what you discussed last time. You don't want kids getting Xboxes or cash payments to parents or things like that. So those types of really outrageous exemptions are all covered. But, our point is just that the way it's written, it still would allow, for example, the reimbursement of tuition at a private institution with state school fund dollars. That's a policy question for the legislature to decide. It still would allow under C. Oh, excuse me.
And that individual board.
Right. And still under C, to the overused example of the bicycle, under C, as long as you gave every kid that enrolled at your school a bicycle, you could give them a bicycle, which is why we suggested the language, that would be educationally appropriate. Okay. And it could still be very creative. Cindy and I were talking about, how could this work and things like that. So with the virtual online charter schools, if you put in some language about educational benefit, that would still, for example, allow a virtual school to provide, say, a Nintendo Wii Fit program as part of their physical education. That could still, those types of things could still occur. So it's still very broad and allows for creative programs and things like that, but it would sort of, what you're talking about, sort of like, just here you go, here's a bike, or here's a computer, or here's a
if you come to our school,
payment.
You get this back.
Yeah, it would have to be tight. You'd have to be able to make a case that it is educationally part of the program that you're providing. And I think all the things you discussed, internet access, computers, printers, Wi-Fi, all those types of things would be covered by this, but it still would let a little bit more, it still open the door a little bit more for someone who's creative or entrepreneurial to perhaps push it past maybe where this legislature wants it to go.
Representative.
Okay.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Boy, you dig into this. It opens up all sorts of scenarios. But I just want, I want to clarify that, when we're talking about potential scholarships or tuition coverage at colleges, we're talking about while they're students at the school, right? We're not talking about the situation of you enroll in, in our charter school, then you're going to get 4 years or 2 years or 1 year of college education after you graduate, right? I mean, we want it to be clear that you're talking about education that is part of your high school experience, diploma, whatever, however. The potential morass I could see would be the situation of, as part of the experience at our school, because we have an international perspective, all students will travel to China, say, during the summer. And that is part of your you don't pay tuition, but that's part of the experience. And in building the model for the online school, or non-online, whatever, that it includes this summer experience, which you could only get if you leave your regular high school and enroll in this school. That, to me, feels like an incentive. I mean, I can see that it's also could be built, but it's very much part of the curriculum of the school. So, I'm sorry, am I just being paranoid?
No, Representative Dembro, you're not. But I think you're...
Thank you.
For the record, you're not paranoid. I think your question is a good one, is... to use a personal example, my daughter's going to be in kindergarten next fall, so my wife and I are exploring all the various, there's magnet schools, there's charter schools, there's immersion programs in the Portland Public School District that we're exploring, and, there's certain experiences you could only get at one or two schools, and so, is that an incentive for my wife and I to try to enter some lottery or try to, get on the wait list for one of those schools? And I think that's not what we're trying to avoid. I think having a diversity of programs, whether it's alternative education programs, charters, immersion, magnets, specialized programs within school districts, I don't think anybody probably wants to cut that off. But we're looking at, and again, a lot of this is hypothetical. As Cindy said, we don't know of anybody that was offering bonus checks to enroll your kid. But I think everyone on this committee was probably surprised that that's legal under Oregon statute currently, and probably... I think it's fair to say most legislators would say that's not a practice we'd ever want to see have happen, considering
Precisely.
The budget discussions we're having about public education.
Yep.
So.
Yep.
Well, thank you very much.
Thank you.
What do we do? We just hold it over?
Yes, carry it over, Madam Chair, if you'd like to work it
over. Are there any
Wednesday?
Further comments before we carry over to Wednesday? No? Going once? Going twice? Further comments before we close the public hearing and carry this over to Wednesday?
Whatever we decide here, Madam Chair, I am going to sleep so much better knowing that we maybe possibly almost sort of stop something that may or may not have happened otherwise. So, charge on.
Great, thank you, Representative.
That's what happens when you
sit
at the end of the
dais. Sarcastic. So I'm going to carry over House Bill 3688 to Wednesday.
I don't know.
You close the public hearing on House Bill 3688. I'd like to point out to the committee that we started late, probably 10 minutes late, which
12.
Means we... 12 minutes late? We have a 32-minute Oregon House Education Committee, which is something that deserves celebration.
That's
but
true.
It only went that long because of Huffman, right?
So you're fine.
That's right. For everybody.
So we meet Wednesday. Are we meeting Friday?
Yeah.
There was a rumor we weren't.
I have not heard that rumor.
I'll let you know. I'm glad to know.
All right. Any other questions?
Nope.
Adjourned.